It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This week, nearly $1 billion worth of deals is being announced between the United States and Africa at a historic U.S. summit bringing President Obama together with the leaders of more than 40 African nations. The continent of Africa contains 6 of the 10 fastest-growing economies in the world and is home to an increasingly educated middle class. One Pittsburgher who is very aware of this fact is La Roche College professor Jeff Ritter, who was in Rwanda earlier this summer to work with students taking online courses. He joins us now in Studio A. Jeff Ritter, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh at wesa.fm. On Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. Jeff, how did you end up volunteering to do this?
Well, I kind of keep aware of things going on in education and technology, especially higher education and new developments. And I was just one of the new many email newsletters I got told me about Kepler, a new experimental college that was starting up, trying to leverage online learning to create a low-cost college education, American degree college education for middle-class and growing middle-class students in developing countries.
So describe what you were doing with the students there.
Well, when I first got in touch with them, I wasn't planning on going anywhere. I had a whole year of school in front of me. But they said, well, we do have these classes that the students are taking, but we have local facilitators who are sort of assisting the students in getting through the online classes, because an online class is pretty intimidating for almost anybody to really complete on your own, especially at college level. So these facilitators are supposed to really help out with discussion and homework and all the things that you normally do, a teacher would do. So she, the education coordinator, asked me to write lesson plans for those facilitators. Since I have a lot of experience teaching, the class was going to be on media, and I could write a lesson plan and work with those facilitators to give them something to work with in the actual classroom with the students, not in front of the computers, but with the students right in front of them.
Well, now, what is the massive open online course?
It's a relatively new development in online education. It means that a school, a professor, an organization, and there's a few of them right now that are working on it, can create a course once online with videos, with exercises, with tests, with writing assignments, the whole, you know, year-long or semester-long course, all created once. And after that, it can run unlimited times for unlimited students. So you could think it might cost a lot to develop, but you could run it so many times with so many students, it's going to be very cost-effective or even free for a student to take that class. Now, you'd interact with other students when you take that class in a discussion board or other ways of peer grading, but there's no real professor needed to make that class run. This group, Kepler, does acknowledge that you need somebody, especially for young students, to meet with them every week to talk about what they've done in the past week and sort of reinforce all that material.
And what is the state of media in a country like Rwanda? I mean, there are so many negative images we have of life there because of the violence there, because of the poverty, that we probably don't even stop to consider the state of the media, where people are getting their news from in terms of radio, television, newspapers. Where are they with media in Rwanda now?
Well, that's one thing that made the class so interesting, especially for the students that I had to talk about and understand media, especially understanding internet and global media and news and information coming over the internet. They know about, you know, they've seen multiple TV stations, multiple radio stations, private as well as government, and massive amount of newspapers, online resources, online on-demand media of all kinds. So it's huge. It's growing. It's everything possible. Now, there is some caveat to that is it's not a fully functioning democracy as we think about. The government is tamping down journalists. That may be a mild way of putting it. And there's not a full free expression, free press media there right now. I think there will be in the future, but it's not exactly at that point right now.
But what about online, here in the United States, so many things. There are so many more platforms and online avenues for people to access information. But the advertising stream to support that does not seem to have caught up with how advertising is spent on more traditional forms of media and news outlets. Whereas in Rwanda, as I understand it, the online advertising base is pretty big.
Yeah, everything's growing. Their middle class is growing. Number of people with computers and access to the internet is growing. Internet use every day, Facebook, among other things, and Google News is growing. So, yeah, it's a very interesting situation right now, especially for somebody like me interested in media and technology, to see it as it's happening. A little store in a little strip mall next to a dirt road has a website. Hmm. That's pretty interesting to see.
And you have experience teaching students from Rwanda here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was one of the great opportunities I had there, was to see some of our students from, I think it's almost 15 years ago now, that graduated with our first group of students that came for it was called the Pachamantaris Peace on Earth Scholarship Program. And I saw four or five of the guys who graduated back in 2001. And I met their families and their kids, went to their houses. And it was a great, great thrill to see students, fully formed adults with great career paths.
And in Rwanda, we sort of get the idea that it's a dangerous place, that you might be a little concerned about your safety if you're wandering around on your own, especially at night. What was it like for you? What kind of interactions did you have?
It was the safest place I've ever been. I mean, it was amazing. And everybody told me, don't worry about anything. Walk down. We had a house we were staying at about a mile off the main road. Walk down that road at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, complete darkness, like really dark. And
why is it? Are there just
no street lights?
No street lights at all.
No street lights. You see a house here and there with some lights and maybe a light in front of it, but pretty dark. And I had a flashlight in my pocket, but never a problem. Hello to everybody. Anybody walks up to you, sees you, looks right at you, you smile, and they say hello. Ultimately, a perfect positive experience in terms of safety and the generosity and friendliness of the people.
We're talking with La Roche College professor Jeff Ritter about his recent experience in Rwanda working with students there. If you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. And our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. And we were talking about internet advertising. Apparently, it's growing faster in the Middle East and Africa than in North America and Europe.
Well, we've got a saturation point here, where almost everybody has access to the internet and computers. And some people are maybe even trying to use a computer and internet less, right? We're having a less connectivity for some of us, saying it's been too much. And there's nothing but growth. So, yeah, middle-class growth is bringing the same thing in terms of internet advertising and use as well. And the other great thing to see with the growth of the middle class, which I was in Rwanda 2004, I was in Liberia 2009, and this was a totally different experience. I mean, many, many more people in private cars, many more nice houses with beautiful front doors and gates and appliances and everything inside them. Big developments, big tracts of developments of new houses right in the city of Kigali. And many more stores, private stores with glass fronts and cash registers and everything going on inside them, and fully stocked with lots of things. A mall. There's a couple of new chains in Rwanda, the Brioche French pastry and coffee shop, and had about three or four different shops. There's another new chain starting up called Mr. Chips, a fast food place that's got three or four places just in Kigali. So it's amazing to see something like that. It's a big difference from the last time I was there.
And what's spurred the change? What has marked all this development?
Well, the stability of the government. It's been 20 years since the genocide, and the government's been very stable. The growth of IT sector and a huge educated class of young people who were working in IT. There's banks, there's banking services. There's IT services, big cell phone companies, and then there's construction and all kinds of other things going on to support those things. Lots and lots of new colleges and educational institutions springing up in addition to the government. government-run. There's many, many private institutions springing up. And then the growth of consumer society, consumption. I mean, you know, trucks and trucks go by filled with goods going to stores that people are going to buy and they're going to put in their houses, no matter what their houses look like, all kinds of different shapes and sizes houses. But I saw consumer goods in almost everywhere.
And you say that there are going to be millions of young people clamoring for a college education in the growing middle classes of the developing world. How good of an example is Rwanda of this particular trend?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, the school itself, that where I was, Kepler, had over 100 students for the new class that started this summer. They had something like 22,000 applications for those 100 spots from the class that started last year. 50 students that were there, and a few that I met. Great, great students. I mean, well prepared. I'm at the top physics and science student in the country, the top scorer on the national exam. I mean, these are some bright, bright kids, and they're ready for all kinds of things, and they really are hungry for the education. In my class, we did an exercise that I do here where we say, what business would you start? What if you had internet access and some background money? And they did the same kind of things that students here would do. They develop business plans. They talk about how to use Google for advertising, how to use Facebook and social media, the same things people do here.
Why don't we hear as much about the growing middle class in Africa? The story is all over NPR today because of what's happening in Washington. But certainly there is it seems to have come out of nowhere for a lot of people. The fact that we seem to be 20 years behind and still sort of in the news cycle that was happening during the Rwandan genocide.
Well, I guess if you're following economics, if you're following technology, then you know about it, and education too. Certainly if you follow what's going on with China, China's investing a lot in developing countries as well. You know, it's one of those classic stories. Nothing terrible is happening, so we're not going to hear about it. But if you're running any kind of business, if you're any kind of organization in the United States, Europe, or Asia, then you've got to be aware of the growth in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa specifically, because the opportunities are there with a large workforce, good natural resources, incredibly growing quality infrastructure. And that's what people are looking for everywhere if you want to manufacture or if you want customers.
And you say that there are going to be millions of young people clamoring for a college education. How do you create low-cost college-level education for the masses of young people in the developing world who want to learn?
Yeah, that's what Kepler is really trying to figure out. I don't think anybody's really figured it out yet. We're not going to be able to build – nobody's building universities and campuses with, you know, giant gymnasiums all across developing countries. There's not enough money to do it. But using online resources that already exist, small colleges, small universities, using online degree programs that already exist, like College for America out of New Hampshire, they're working to leverage. That's the key term, leverage what already exists with resources on the ground to give the students opportunity. Because once they've got that opportunity, they've got good people around them, they've got a good structure, really working well with lesson plans and objectives and understanding what the goals of the education are. We're going to see if it can be done. That's Kepler's experiment. That's one reason why I really went there, was I want to see how this experiment is working and where the flaws are and what needs to be improved. And maybe I'll help with that in the future as well.
And what have you brought home from this experience?
Well, again, great new friends, Rwandan students. The people at Kepler, really sharp people, know what they're doing. They've got a great plan. They've got a plan to expand. Liberia is on their checklist of the next countries to look at in terms of expansion. And then I can bring to my students here and say, you know, these students overseas are not sitting around doing nothing. They're moving quickly to gain education. Look for your partners. Look for opportunities. Look for – and we've got students from developing countries at La Roche now. I want my students, American students, to look to them as partners, potential growth partners for future businesses and opportunities of all kinds. So that's what I do. The one reason I do these trips, it brings something back to my teaching.
And it doesn't sound like these students are the Rwandan students are going to go in are going to have the kind of problems, if not the challenges, certainly the kind of problems. For example, the debt burden that an American college student, you know, you're saying they can't build the big universities with the football teams and the stadiums and all that, but the kids here who are paying for the education at those places, a lot of them are having to take out loans that they have no idea how they're going to repay.
Yeah, well, it's still the best investment you could make. I was reading just this morning an article that says it's not the that the college education isn't worth anything. It's that if you don't graduate, if you start college and don't finish and you've got loans to pay off, then you're in big trouble. But if you finish college, you've got a great chance of paying off your loans and doing very well, certainly much better than if you hadn't gone to college.
If you finish, you get the degree, you can maximize the value of your education. Before I let you go, I was very interested in looking at some of your writings about this experience of going to Rwanda this summer, of meeting up with the students that came to La Roche College years ago in Pittsburgh. And this would have been how many years?
15 years ago.
15 years ago. So, and how much they missed Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Talk about the things that they grew to love about our city that they still remember long after their return to Africa.
Well, they still talk about how the convenience and the ease of living, you know, is still different. I mean, Rwanda's got growing conveniences and grocery stores and everything possible in the middle-class lifestyle they have. But there's still, it's not as easy and as available, the variety and how really inexpensive things are here. They still talked about the first winter here, how shocking it was to them.
I bet that was a wake-up call.
And how cold they were. They don't miss that, but they miss the Steelers and talking about Steelers and talking about sports and all the friendly Americans who really were just so helpful to them, and they really remembers fondly.
Jeff Ritter is a professor at La Roche College, having recently returned from a trip to Rwanda where he worked with students there. Jeff, as always, a pleasure visiting with you. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
And speaking of the Steelers, coming up, we'll remember the Steelers draft class of 1974, which produced an unprecedented 4 Hall of Famers. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.